Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Today, we are going to be recapping 3 weeks of OTAs. As of next week, we will be getting into mini camps. There will be two mini camp practices that are open to the media. Unfortunately, still, it does not seem like any will be open to the public, which is a huge bummer. Still think Green Bay needs to change that. But we do now have three OTA weeks in the books. And while only three of those were open to the media, I do think there are some overarching takeaways that we can get from these. And I kind of wanted to go through all of those today. So in case you missed any of the other recap videos from the three individual OTAs or just want a large picture view of what happened over the course of the last 3 weeks, today is the episode made just for you. And I didn't actually even have this on my list, but as I'm sort of thinking about it out loud, I think actually the number one takeaway from this entire thing has been attendance. I mean, attendance was unbelievable. And you go and look at some of these other teams around the league, and it is not necessarily the same. I have seen some teams where there are some interesting players, not just contract-related, missing from some of these OTA sessions. And for Green Bay, Robert Rochelle missed week one, which what sounds like was some sort of personal issue. I don't know if he was quote-unquote excused, but that was the only guy that was missing in that first day of OTAs that was open to the media. In week two, you did have three fairly prominent players in Preston Smith, Elton Jenkins, and Rashawn Gary that were missing, but everyone else was there. And then in week three, nobody was missing. Now, again, I can only speak to the three practices that were open to the media. I don't know about the other ones. There could have been a practice where almost nobody showed up. I doubt that's the case. But of those three that were open to the media, only four absences across three practices. That is incredible. And that sort of speaks to the overall energy and vibe of this team right now. Jordan Love talked about it's the most close-knit team that he has ever been a part of. You can tell the energy that this group has, how intent they are at getting better. They're showing up to the OTAs. Like, this is a team that is hungry. You can tell. Like, it has been discussed about these players since last year when some of these guys were still just rookies. And that's a special trait to have for a team. That close-knit group, that group that wants to get better, they're grinding tape. Xavier McKinney's coming in and watching the tape for his younger safety so he can go over it with them before they go to their coaches. Like, that is unique, special stuff. So I didn't even initially, again, have this on my list, and I think it actually has to be number one on the list. It has to be just the attendance and the, I'll say, overall intensity and vibe of this team that is carrying this team through OTAs. I believe it'll go into mini camp, into training camp and beyond, and hopefully create something special down the road. All right, now let's get to my actual list that I did prepare ahead of time. Number one on my list was the Packers are taking it a little bit slow through these first 3 weeks, and I actually kind of love it. My belief is what they are doing right now is they are really hammering home the mental aspect of the game, the technical side of the game, the fundamental side of the game, and making sure all of these players understand exactly where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, the communications, everything like that. And as time goes on, they will continue to ramp it up. And my belief is that once training camp comes along, they want these guys to be 100% mentally prepared, ready to go, so they can play fast in training camp, preseason, and hit the ground running in week one. It feels like a very logical ramp up period. It's been different though. It has definitely been, like I said, a bit more slower paced. That first OTA practice that we saw was almost all snail paced sort of stuff, some walkthroughs. We got a couple of team periods, some 7-on-7s that were, I would say, maybe 70-75%, and a couple team periods that were, I don't know, maybe 40%, 30%, but nothing high paced, no big competitive periods. that second OTA practice and like a 2-hour practice, saw the 3 2-minute drills at the end, but those for the most part were the only 100% speed type practice activities throughout the entirety of that practice. And then in the third one, you had the 3 2-minute drills, as well as a couple more, you know, team periods that did look like they were more at full speed. But for the most part, this was a lot of individual work, and this was a lot of walkthrough. Some 7-on-7s early in the, you know, earlier in the first couple practices, as I mentioned, just a different brand. And when I asked Matt LaFleur, I asked him about those 7-on-7s the first week. And I said, if I remember correctly, you don't like 7-on-7s. He interrupts me. He's like, I hate 7-on-7s. But the goal of those specific practices was to get the quarterback's footwork down. And of course, when you have pass rushers, you're now trying to avoid pass rush and trying to get, and your footwork sort of goes awry a little bit, like just understandably. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but of course it's not going to be as perfect as you want because you've got live bullets flying at you, at least as much as you can in a red jersey, but it still is going to affect it. So he wants in those sessions, the quarterbacks to focus on their footwork. That was the point of it. And it makes a ton of sense to do it that way. You have a brand new defense, a defense that has added some new key players, but also that is under the new watchful eye of defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. And they want those guys to get down exactly what their roles and responsibilities are supposed to be. Even on offense, you know, we talk about how high powered this offense could potentially be. This is still a this is an extremely young offense still. And even the, like a guy that is a veteran, Josh Jacobs, is new to the offense. So there are still a lot of new pieces that are still working together. I'm sure there are installs that are going in that these young players have not done before. So all of this makes sense. You have rookie mini camps, which are dedicated to just getting those rookies as up to speed as possible in a 2-day period and to try out the players that were in for tryouts. Then you have these OTAs, which is the very first opportunity for this coaching staff, specifically Jeff Hafley, to sort of install what he wants to install. Now you have mini camp next week, and then you've got that 6-ish week break before you start training camp. And I guarantee you, they're going to want to be 100% ready for that first day of training camp. That seems to be the goal here, is to get them ready as time goes on so they are mentally prepared for everything come that time. It doesn't necessarily matter, you know, in full speed, like if they're going full speed right now and having all these intense competitive periods, they're not making any roster decisions today. And they theoretically could at like the bottom of the roster and churn a couple guys before the start of camp. But for the most part, they're not making any 53-man roster decisions at this point. They're not game planning for anyone. They're not trying to win any games at this point. So this logical, slow, sort of gradual ramp-up period, like I said, seems very, very smart. I like the idea behind it. I'm 100% behind what they're trying to do so far, and I think it is going to benefit them in the long term. And number two is sort of similar. They're trying a little bit of everything. They're in their, you know, I just hit college and I need to do some experimenting phase. This is an offensive line that a lot of different players have played in a lot of different spots. Wide receivers and tight ends are rotating everywhere. They're doing some spread sets. They're doing some power sets. You know, the running backs are getting, you know, obviously shuffled in and out on defense. Again, they're starting to get to know this defense a little bit better. They're doing some big nickel sort of looks with three safeties, rotating a lot of those safeties around and moving them into different spots. The linebackers, you've got a base defense right now that you see Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie in. You're also seeing Edgerrin Cooper rotate in with the number twos. Like, you are seeing a little bit of everything. And, you know, you're finally getting to see some edge players with their hands in the dirt. This is the time period where, again, they're not making any big time roster decisions. They don't have to game plan for an opponent. They are figuring out what some of these guys are capable of. They're experimenting. They're watching. They're cross training. They're throwing things at these guys to see what they can handle. And I'll say it one more time. This is a beautiful way to do this. This is getting them ready for what could come in the regular season. There could come a time where you need Elgton Jenkins at center, even if Josh Myers is the guy. Or you need Zach Tom. I know Zach Tom hasn't been able to do anything because of his pec, but that you need some of these guys at different spots because of you know, different injuries that take place through the course of the season. Sean Ryan's got time at center. Andre Dillard's been at left tackle and right tackle. Jordan Morgan's been at every single position outside of center. Spoiler alert for, I think, one of my things on my list later. But these are the things that you are starting to see from this team, is just, let's see what works. Let's see if, you know, we really like Sean Ryan at center. Maybe we, you know, let's just see what it looks like. Let's see if this three safety set with Evan Williams and Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney on the field at the same time could be something that we like. Let's get Corey Ballantyne in the slot. Maybe that's something that he could do. Maybe he could compete at that spot moving forward. It just is breeding a, you know, competition, an era of competition. And it's also, you know, getting guys comfortable with playing in different positions and in unique spots when the team needs it. And that is something that is so invaluable as the season kicks off. And you are in a situation where, hey, you've got to put guys in different spots because of injuries. They're preparing for that. And again, they're also experimenting. They're trying everything. And this is the exact time that you want to do that. I think mini camp, you can do some of that as well. And then training camp, when that comes around, you really want to, you know, get guys a little bit more acclimated with what they're going to be doing in season. So again, like what they are doing with trying to experiment with some guys and some different formations and some different sets and all of it at this point in time. Hey friends, the NHL and NBA Finals are officially here, and we have two matchups that should be absolutely epic. We've got Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers versus Sam Reinhart and the Florida Panthers, and of course, the one and only Luka Doncic and the Mavs versus Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. I cannot freaking wait. And the main reason I am so excited is because I can't wait to get my Prize Picks lineups in for both of these incredible matchups, which of course is going to maximize my excitement. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks, you should know that one, it's America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. And in as little as 60 seconds, you can put together your Prize Picks lineup and could turn $10 into $1,000 in any single NHL or NBA Finals game this summer. And I know what some of you are already thinking. You'll probably pick Luka Doncic, and he's probably going to get hurt. Well, guess what? Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, Prize Picks has your back, and that will not count as a loss. This week, I'm going to be looking at PJ Washington and Derek White in the Celtics-Mavs matchups and Leon Draisaitl for the Oilers against the Panthers. While you're thinking about who you're going to pick, just remember that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Number three, the Packers are mostly healthy. Knock on wood, hold your lucky rabbit's foot, do whatever you need to do. Now, it's not perfect. Zach Tom has a pec injury. Tucker Kraft has a pec injury. Jair Alexander missed that last OTA practice. Didn't seem like anything crazy, you know, or anything like that, but he missed the last OTA. Tyler Davis is still recovering from the ACL. Kitano Ladapo out of the walking boot, but still has that foot injury that's probably going to keep him out. And then Alex Magoo, kind of had that hamstring. It looked like a hamstring issue, and then he came back and then he dropped out again. Those are your only injuries that we know of at this point. And they were also extra cautious with Kenny Clark. I don't think he did any team periods or a couple other guys. You know, Josh Jacobs was ramping up a little bit more. But right now, you know, if you were to play a game this week, the three that you're worried about, Zach Tom, Tucker Kraft, and Jair Alexander, who knows, maybe Jair would be able to play. And it seems like for the most part with Tucker and Zach Tom, they avoided any serious long-term sort of like, you know, three-month type of pec injuries, which is huge. It does seem like Zach Tom is ahead of Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft still in, you know, sweats and in a sling. Zach Tom doing a bit more rehab stuff and moving around. We'll see what that means for Kraft if he can get back for training camp. Same thing with Zach Tom. You know, we don't know an exact timeline. It does seem like hopefully at some point in training camp, those guys are going to be able to come back. Again, don't have an update on Jair. Tyler Davis, I would assume, would start ramping up even more coming back from that ACL injury. And the thought is that Oladapo should be ready right around training camp as well. Magoo will just have to wait and see. But hopefully when we start training camp, this is a camp that, again, is relatively healthy. But you do have some, you know, slight concerns there with Jair, Tucker Kraft, Zach Tom. Meanwhile, on the other injury news, you know, just a massive piece of good news with Kingsley and Igbari. Again, this is a player we thought tore his ACL because he said he tore his ACL at the end of last season. And then you have him in the offseason where, you know, right before the start of, I think, rookie mini camps, Matt's like, well, we think he may have actually avoided a torn ACL, but there's still a lot of hurdles that he needs to clear. So you're thinking like, maybe it's one of those things where they're going to rest it for a while and see if he can ultimately come back. And if he can, great. If he can't, you know, they're going to maybe have to do surgery later. Then all of a sudden, the very first OTA comes around, and you're like thinking, well, even if he could, like maybe he's just going to be with the rehab. He's full go. He's 100% full go and has been 100% full go through the entirety of OTAs. No issues, doing team, doing everything. Like, just what a remarkable, we don't even know what the injury was. I mean, what a remarkable recovery one way or the other, and such a great gift of good news. And, you know, what we thought was going to be potentially mid-season for Enagbare, he's back full go at the first full OTAs, which is just, again, incredible news. So that was some good injury news. Like I said, this team is mostly healthy, but still a couple injuries to monitor going into training camp. Next up, no rookie starters yet. Now, Jordan Morgan did get the start in the third OTA at right tackle. However, that is only due to the fact that Zach Tom is out injured. If Zach Tom were there, he would have been the right tackle in that practice. So he did get one practice as the quote-unquote starter. But for the most part, no spots have been handed to any of these rookies. At safety with Javon Bullard, that's been Anthony Johnson Jr. so far. Same thing, obviously, for Evan Williams. At linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper has been in with the nickel in some situations. But the starters, again, in the 4-3, have been Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Eric Wilson. Interestingly enough. So he's still trying to earn some of his playing time in those spots at the linebacker positions. You know, at running back, Marshawn Lloyd, he did get one practice, you know, where he got a little bit more, but Dylan has still been the number one at running back when Jacobs was out. And then when Jacobs was back, he became the number one. At offensive line, again, Jordan Morgan got that one day because Zach Tom was out. But for the most part, he has been rotating in even behind Andre Dillard in the first OTA practices. So this is a you know, group of rookies that are not going to be handed everything. That's basically falls in line with what the Packers generally do at these positions. Last year at tight end was a little bit different with Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave because one of those guys was going to have to be the starter basically. But outside of that, this is a team that makes you earn it. And I appreciate that. I think it's a good mentality to have. I would expect Edgerrin Cooper is your starter at linebacker in all situations, except maybe dime with Quay being the dime linebacker sooner rather than later. I would expect Javon Bullard starts to get a lot more reps as the starting safety. I would expect Jordan Morgan starts to get a lot more reps as a starting offensive lineman. Then we'll kind of see from there, you know, how the rest of it entails. But overall, these rookies right now, they have to earn it. Number five on my list, Bo Melton picking up right where he left off. This is a player that surprised a lot of people at the end of last season, showing what he was capable of, displaying that he was a player that not only did you need to make active at the end of the year, you needed to get in plays and on the field, even in playoff situations. That's how important he was. He's come in and he has not taken his foot off the gas. He looks fantastic. He had that big 75-yard touchdown in this number three OTA that was open to the media. And even outside of that, when he's been working with the ones or the twos, he has done everything that has been asked of him. He's caught everything that has come his way. And he consistently is showing that he can be a player, maybe even a big time player within this offense. You know, sometimes you get these guys that they have their shining moment and then it just kind of falls off from there. I know there are people maybe that still believe that the Bo Melton thing was a flash in the pan and it's just going to, you know, again, sort of dissipate into the ether. I really don't see it that way. He is going to be, I don't know if I want to say like impactful. I don't know what the level of impact he's going to be because of the amount of wide receivers on this team. He has the ability to be an impactful wide receiver for this team, but he's going to get playing time. He's going to get snaps. He's going to make some level of impact. And again, he is picking up right where he left off. He looks fantastic. Number six, there's a reason that Daniel Whalen does not have any competition on the roster. He looks fantastic. He has been booming the crap out of the ball, and it is a beautiful blend of hang time, accuracy, and distance, all coming together into these just enormous punts that you sort of are, you know, just super impressed by over and over and over in practice. And they've dealt with some windy conditions. There's rotating long snappers and it just does not seem to affect him. Now, it is a little bit easier to kick in Green Bay in June than it is in May and June than it is to in, you know, December and January. But right now, he looks legit. He looks like he's taken a step even over last year. I don't know if we want to dedicate a second year jump episode to the punter. And I know it's technically, you know, he's had some opportunities in the past, played in the XFL, et cetera, but he looks great. And like I said, there's a reason that he does not have any competition on the roster. Daniel Whalen, your punter one for week one against Philly in Brazil. Number seven, a lot of talk. We all know it. Jordan Love needs a contract. Not anything we necessarily learned out of OTAs, but it's been one of the big talking points. He and his agency, along with the Packers organization, both want to get this done before training camp, per Brian Gutekunst. And you can tell that there is motivation from both of these sides, and it doesn't make any real sense for it to go any further than that. Parameters should mostly be in place. There's been a lot of new quarterback deals as of late. They know it's going to be in that mid-50s sort of range, 53 to 55. Is it 4 years? Is it 5 years? How do you do the bonus money? I'm not saying this is easy, but it should be a contract that these sides are able to negotiate and figure out before the start of training camp. You don't want this lingering into preseason. You don't want it to be that Jordan can't or shouldn't or won't play because he doesn't have a contract. You know, you just want this to handle itself organically and not have any, you know, dark cloud hanging over the Packers because this contract doesn't get done or any question marks about it. These guys are good at their job. Russ Ball is amazing. Brian Gutekunst is amazing. I'm sure Jordan Love's agency is amazing. Every side will work, I think, in good faith. They work together to figure out a pretty unique contract a season ago to do that 1-1 instead of the fifth-year option. I think I don't have any concern here, but it's definitely something that still is sort of on the back, you know, on the back of everyone's mind, and is sort of, you know, just like, all right, let's get this thing done so it doesn't linger into training camp. Number eight, Eric Stokes is your starting corner. Now, I'm not saying week one, but so far there has not been any competition. In week one and week two, it has been Eric Stokes as the starter opposite Jair, with nobody rotating in for him or taking his job or taking his snaps. In week three, it was still Stokes, but Carrington Valentine was in for Jair Alexander. Now, Valentine, in my opinion, looks great. I think he looks fantastic when challenged. He's basically shut things down, had a couple of really nice plays in coverage against Malik Heath. He's chirping, he's talking, he looks in great shape. But so far, when it comes to the starting corner spot, when Jair's been there, it has only been Eric Stokes. We'll see if that evolves into more of a competition between Stokes and Carrington Valentine come training camp, if those guys rotate a little bit more, or if Stokes just sticks it and he's going to be the guy come week one against Philly. Those will be interesting conversations, and again, an interesting thing to keep an eye on. I personally would like to see Carrington get a little bit more involved. It could be too that it just so happens like they're going every other day, and the days that it was Eric Stokes was the ones that we were there for. And maybe it was going to be Carrington's day on the number three OTA that was open to the media, but Jair wasn't there, so Stokes was in. Those are things that in such small sample sizes, it's a little bit tough to glean, but in the only two opportunities that we got to see it, it was Eric Stokes and not Carrington Valentine as the full-time starter opposite Jair Alexander. Number nine, kicking remains a battle. I talked about the other day, I think Anders looks the best of the three. I think everyone should be hoping that he takes some sort of jump in year two, that he can be the guy. The ball comes off of his foot different than it does Jack Podlesny or Greg Joseph. I would not be shocked if they, you know, removed Podlesny from the roster either for a different player or to maybe bring in one of these UFL kickers by the time training camp starts. I could definitely see that happening. But either way, as of right now, there is still no clear-cut winner. I think Anders is the leader in the clubhouse, but he's still going to have to earn that job, both against the other two kickers on the roster and anyone else that might be out there. Like I said, there are some interesting UFL kickers that will come available at the end of that season in the very near future. So still a battle, still a competition. Don't think anyone's won or lost anything quite yet. Although I think, again, Anders is probably one, Joseph is two, and Podlesny is three, if I'd have to kind of rank it at this moment. But I don't think any Packer fan should have any real level of comfort at that position. And I still think that is maybe the biggest position of anxiety on the entire roster of like what's going to happen in when you go out to kick a 45 yarder when you need it at the end of a game. Whoever it is, are they going to be able to come through with you for you? And that's going to be a big, big question going into the season. And I'm not sure there's anything that any of these kickers can do to answer that question before the season starts. It's going to be a leap of faith, and it's going to be trusting that that guy gets the job done. And if they do, thank goodness. And if they don't, it could be something that really kind of holds this Packers team back in some of those key clutch moments. Number 10, Jeff Hafley's defense has so far been as advertised. Now, I'm not saying it's been advertised as amazing, and it's been amazing. I'm just saying we're getting a lot of the things that we expected. We expected a lot of, you know, single high safety. We've seen a lot of single high safety. We expected some big nickel. We got some big nickel. We expected defensive ends with their hands in the dirt. We've got defensive ends with the hands in the dirt. We expected 4-3. We got some 4-3. We expected a lot of disguises on the back end. We've got a lot of disguises. We expected some more press man coverage on the outside and in the slot. We've seen more press man coverage on the outside and in the slot. So everything that we sort of thought this Jeff Hafley defense was going to be, unless he's just pulling one over on us and all of it's a red herring, it has been what we expected it to be. It's been exciting. I've loved the brand of football that I've seen in OTA so far. I think it's going to be a more pure, better brand of defense. I think they're going to mix and match based on what the opposing offense is going to give them. And everything about this defense should give you some level of excitement because it feels very improved from a season ago. I'm just saying schematically and what they're trying to do. Whether or not they can actually win games with their defense, whether it can be a top 10 defense, whether whatever that may equate to down the road, those things are all going to be decided in season. We can't make any overarching judgments on anything at this point in time, just because it would be foolhardy. We've been here before. We've been excited about defenses in the past. We've been excited about coordinators in the past, only to be let down. This is going to be something that they're going to have to do in season. They're going to have to get better as the season goes along. But first impressions have been great. The buy-in is there from the players, and everything has been as advertised. And I personally am excited to see this Jeff Hafley defense in action. Number 11, Edgerrin Cooper can fly. Couple examples that we've seen out of him just flying to the football. There was a blitz the other day where he kind of looped around and came inside on a little bit of a stunt or a game. And he was there in a millisecond on Jordan Love. Like he came out, it looked like he was like Nightcrawler, just appearing out of nowhere. And all of a sudden he was at the quarterback. And then I talked about the other day, how there's a play where Josh Jacobs got a run to the right and Edgerrin Cooper just shot out of a cannon to get him for what would have been probably a 3-yard loss on the play. And you just don't see the movement from those linebackers like he has. It is special. It is unique. It is going to jump off the tape when you are watching him come game days. It is exciting. And it doesn't necessarily mean he's a great linebacker. There's a lot more that goes into it. You can't just put a 4-3 guy at a linebacker and just be like, hey, that'll fix everything. There's a lot more to it than that. But everything's been, I think, an arrow, you know, pointed in the right direction for Cooper. And that athleticism has also been as advertised. And by the way, Tyron Hopper, not too different. Like he's made a couple plays like that as well. Not with the crazy pure speed, I think, that Edgerrin Cooper has, but he's jackknifed himself into a couple, you know, tackles at the line of scrimmage or lost, both actually on Marshawn Lloyd, one in rookie minicamp, one in OTAs this past week, where he showed off that speed and range from the linebacker position. So those linebackers, they've got some speed, and especially Edgerrin Cooper, he can fly. And last but not least, number 12, these free agents, all three of the key, you know, core ones are all fitting in. Xavier McKinney has been a picture perfect, exactly what they wanted match at that safety position. He can do a little bit of everything. They've asked him to do a little bit of everything. He's a leader. He's a captain, not literally with the C on his chest, but he's a captain on this team, guaranteed. Again, whether that official C is on his jersey or not, he's going to be somebody that is going to lead not only the secondary, but this defense. I think he's going to be an overall leader in the locker room. You can tell he is setting the tone in that secondary. You can tell, I think Jair is feeding off of it as well. It's exactly what you wanted when you give that type of contract to Xavier McKinney as a big time free agent signing. He's fit in perfect. I want to talk Andre Dillard. Andre Dillard has sort of looked the part so far. I just want him to be the next Yosh Nyman. That's my goal. That's my expectation for him. Can you just be Yosh? I think he can. I really think that he can. Matt LaFleur mentioned he's a perfect scheme fit for this offense. He does not have any other chances after this. If he fails in Green Bay, I think this is his last lifeline. Maybe he gets one more random shot somewhere, but he got a vet minimum, no guaranteed deal. He needs to show out. And so far, I've been rather impressed with what I've seen from Andre Dillard. So if he can be that swing tackle, left tackle, right tackle, kind of filling in for what Yosh has left, you know, Green Bay has some options there. He doesn't need to be a top tier. You have a Rashid Walker, a Zach Tom, a Jordan Morgan, all who can play tackle. But if he can be a guy that can step in and give you solid snaps without having to change the offense, that would be invaluable. And so far, so good from Andre Dillard. And then Josh Jacobs. We've got to see a little bit less of Jacobs because of some of the injuries and him ramping up. But he looks dynamic. He looks explosive. He looks the part. He looks exactly what you would expect with his bruising body, with also his really good speed at the position. He's going to be running back one, clearly and obviously. And I'm very, very excited to see just how dynamic he can be in an offense that's not just set to the tone of Josh Jacobs, that defenses have to watch everything else. And then, oh, also you have Josh Jacobs that can be that dynamic playmaker as well. So these free agents all fitting in very, very well so far. So that's it. Those are my key observations from 3 weeks of OTAs. Again, that first one is you love the attendance, but then everything else was the Packers slowing it down, getting everyone on the same page, trying a bit of everything and doing some experimentation, some cross-training at this point. Mostly healthy, couple injuries of somewhat concern, but nothing that seems should be an issue going into week one of the regular season at this point, and getting Enagbare back is huge. No rookie starters as of yet. Bo Melton picking up where he left off. Daniel Willen looks phenomenal. Jordan Love still needs that new contract. Eric Stokes is your starter opposite Jair so far. The kicking remains a question mark in a battle. Jeff Hafley's defense has been as advertised. Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, those guys can fly, especially Cooper, and the free agents are fitting in incredibly well. That's going to do it for me today. Hope you enjoyed this brand new episode of the Packaday Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, give those 5-star reviews. Check out the Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. But until next time, shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Chibra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, and Arnaldo Espinoza. Now, I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.